You're listening to Noise Complaint on CITR 101.9 FM, coming to you live from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people on UBC's Vancouver campus.
Hi, this is Gia. I've got Brad on guitar with me today, and we're going to sing a couple songs. This is Let My Baby Go. I had to let my baby go. He was no longer good for me. The final kiss before I hit the road to coastal. You swallowed me up like time, and all and now very often you on a comedy kid in a red hot blaze. Spotlight hit my baby center stage. This next one is a new one that just came out a month-ish ago. It's called Playground Heart. It's going to be part of my second EP. It's coming out next year. And yeah, hope you enjoy. Walking in circles with holes in my shoes, trying not to get sucked into your black hole excuses. They leave me confused. Playground heart, tell me, do you want me or not?
Oh, This next one is called Poltergeist. I think it's pretty underrated on the EP. And we'll be playing it acoustically. It's called The Archer by Alexander Savior. Hope you enjoy.
The earth went ahead and shook itself apart. The very moment I lit eyes on you, I took some pleasure at the burning of the cross before heaven couldn't be so true. You waved me right up, you spooked me back out, you bit my head right off with your tiny little mouth. And I lit the bow shot that you made punctured straight into my heart. It's a little ignorant, but everybody says that forever is a place where you and I were made. You ate me right up, you spit me back out, you bit my head.
Knock, knock. Guess who? MRG Live coming right back at you, this time with a whole new list of upcoming live shows by your favorite artists. Hear this: Marika Hackman, Faye Webster, Empress Of, Peter Cat Recording Co., and The Rare Occasions are a few of the artists MRG Live is bringing to you. Follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram to stay tuned with all the artists performing near you. Right side of my neck still smells
like you. On January 17th, CITR 101.9 FM presents our annual 24 hours of radio art programming, featuring innovative approaches to music and sound. It's 24 hours of spoken word, ambient drone field recordings and sound walks, collage, technical support calls, voicemail fills, sound art, and noise. Listen live on CITR 101.9 or online at CITR.ca.
What a lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe. estudio.cafe.
Thank you. Welcome to Lethal Refresh.
I'm Danny.
I'm B.
I'm Steph.
I'm Jay.
Let's get lethal. Let's get refreshed.
When it's darkest, we always attract the brightest people. Baby, you a light. Shift my whole world to the right.
Please listen to Lethal Refresh on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Narda Word of Human Serviette and Doo-doo-loo-doo.
Thank you!
Lethal Refresh, every Monday, 12 to 1 p.m. New music every week.
Re-20, T20. Take some, that one. I the east, son. Rockin' in my low tie.
You're listening to Noise Complaint on CITR 101.9 FM, coming to you live from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people on UBC's Vancouver campus. I'm Seth. We have with us Gia.
Hi. Hello.
Helps if I turn your mic on.
Oh, there we go. Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. That was a beautiful set. Thank you very much. We've also got, I should say, producer Free sitting in, hanging out. He might pop in at some point to say hello.
Can you guys hear me? If you guys can, hello guys. Excited to be here.
Cool. So yeah, Gia, thank you so much for that set. It was absolutely wonderful. Had six songs in there, I think?
I think five, six, yes.
Six songs? So you got five release songs as it stands, is that right?
Yes.
Cool. And then we got a cover as well. What was the cover? Mm-hmm. We were having a little chat about it before we came on.
The cover was The Archer by Alexandra Xavier. I feel like she's like one of my biggest influences in making the music that I do, so I thought it appropriate to throw it in there.
Okay, well let's talk about the music that you do make then. I was listening to you, so you've got one EP released so far, which is called?
Yes, it's called The Melting of the Moon.
And where can we find it?
On all digital streaming platforms and Bandcamp.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I was listening to it on my way in today on the bus, and really thinking about it, and I think there's a really nice kind of variety in your sound. It kind of goes from this kind of almost dream pop kind of vibes on is it Visitation Dream, I think it was possibly the first demo you put up.
Yes, I made that on GarageBand like when I had COVID in 2020. I wanted to sort of like challenge myself to like put something out there. It was my first sort of release, so I made in like 3 weeks in GarageBand, and yeah, definitely dream poppy that one.
And is music something you've been creating for a long time? Have you always been a very musical person?
Yeah, I think I started playing piano at seven, and mm-hmm. then I found singing, and then I always like did like the high school, like elementary school, like talent shows and things mm-hmm. like that. So I always grew up like singing and performing, but I don't think I wrote original songs until I was like 16 maybe.
Okay.
And then I didn't take it seriously, I think, until the past couple of years. Yeah.
So take me through your songwriting process. I always find that really interesting. Do you tend to write lyrics first, or does the music come first, or what is there kind of a mishmash of the two?
Yeah, I think it like depends. Like there's a lot of different ways I think that I derive like inspiration from. To me, the lyrics are really important. But I think with the kind of music that I'm making, the world building, like the sound has so much to do with it mm-hmm. too. So I think I take a lot of inspiration from the sounds and like the musicality of music and like the soundscapes. But to me, like lyrics are definitely number one. So it like it depends.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fair. And I imagine each song kind of has its own, you know, directions it pulls in.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I was talking about the variety in the EP, and you said in your set, Poltergeist you think is underrated, and
yeah.
I'm so glad you did, because it's my favorite of the tracks
awesome.
On the EP.
Okay, sick. Yeah.
Definitely.
I find that one always like very polarizing. Like people either like if they love Poltergeist, they're like stands like hardcore, like they'll ride or die for Poltergeist, or they like don't like it at all.
Interesting.
So I love
what do you think it is in the song? Because for me it's kind of a bit more like the guitars are a bit more growly. There's a bit more sort of Tom Waitsy kind of
definitely
Americana-y kind of like I call Tom Waits like urban Americana, like it's like city America, and that's what Poltergeist kind of reminds me of. What do you think it is in that song that divides people? What is it you like about it?
I think it's probably because it's just heavier. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, yeah, like the heaviest of my songs, and also like the way I sing, it's in a very croony way, which is, you don't find too much, I think, in like a heavier, I guess, indie rock kind of song. And also, I think the way I write melodies, it's very like glidey. Some people have described it as glidey, which I find really funny. I think it just doesn't appeal to like most people because it's just more. I don't know, actually. They need to tell me, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't just criticize them. Not know why.
Exactly. For no reason.
And you've got a new song that's just come out.
Yes.
How are we feeling about it?
Feeling good, yeah. Like the reaction from the public has been good so far. The guitarist that I was with today who played Brad, it's like his favorite one of my songs, which is like very encouraging. Thanks, Brad. I love it. I think it's a new direction. I recorded that in LA with an LA producer. And I feel like the process of making this new project is so different from the way I made my debut EP, which was all in Vancouver, all Vancouver-based musicians. And I'm so glad that was the way I was able to create the first project. I'm feeling good about it. It's a new direction. I'm like trying new things. But it's still like, it still has the DNA of like the EP and like, I think my artist sound. Just sort of like exploring.
So you say new project. Is there more to come than just this song?
Yes. Yeah. It's part of my second EP that will be out sometime next year. No idea
Very
when.
Very cool.
Yes. But
can you tell us anything about it, or is it all cards close to the chest for timing? How many tracks are we getting?
Five.
Okay. Yeah. One more. A little bonus from last time.
Yes, exactly.
And are they all recorded in LA? Is this part of this? Was that why you were down there?
Most of it is recorded in LA with different LA producers. And then two of it is recorded with Canadian producers.
Very cool. Yeah. And you're talking about a new direction. Mm-hmm. Is that something you could expand on at the moment, or have we got to wait and see?
I'll give you a little bit. I think it's just not an entirely new direction. I think it's just got more focus. I think my last EP obviously was my first project, so I was sort of exploring different things, different sounds. And this one I've just sort of like leaned into, I think, what I've found. So you'll see what I've found.
Okay, okay. Yes. Cool. Interesting. It's interesting you said it because I was listening to the new single. I hadn't noticed it. I've listened to the EP a few times now, and I just spotted the new single today, so I only listened to it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But it really recalls Visitation Dream to me, interestingly, which was your first, the first track
we
were talking about.
Wow, I love that.
I think you kind of, there's a, like you say, I think was Poltergeist, well, it was the last song you released for the EP. I don't know if it was the last one you recorded. But it feels like there was kind of a steady, like Visitation Dream is that kind of dream poppy, kind of slightly, that all your songs are quite eerie, I think, is a really good word for
it. Yes, like mysterious. I love it. That's the goal.
Good. Well, I'd say you're absolutely smashing it. Yeah. And it felt like the sound was kind of getting a little bit heavier, like you say, into Poltergeist. And now this new single, this new project feels like not a reset, but like, okay, what was Visitation Dream doing in a kind of lighter kind of sense? That was the vibe I got from it. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of it goes.
I love that. I didn't even think about that like at all. I think it's all happening subconsciously. Mm-hmm. I think it is coming full circle with like the dream popier vocals. I love that. I have nothing to say. I need to like think about that when I get home.
Do you tend to write in like bursts, or does it tend, when you say it's kind of, I know you're subconscious in a different context there, but is your writing kind of like very conscious, or is it quite subconscious? Are you kind of living your life and little bits come to you and you think, oh, well, remember that? Or is it like, right, I'm going to sit down now and make some music?
I think, again, it depends on the song. I think with Playground Heart, it was very much like, I think like when I'm tasked, I think it is in bursts. Like, I think it is in bursts. But, like, the lyrical ideas are always subconscious. like always passive. Mm-hmm. So I'll always be like going about my day. Like if I have a lyric idea, I'm thinking about like something someone said, and I'll be like sort of jotting it down in the notes. Those will all come back, I think, when I'm like really sitting down and like trying to write a song. So I think it's like, yeah, a combination of like both of those things.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about some of your inspirations a bit because I think they're probably pretty wide ranging. I saw in your bio, you mentioned a few different people. You mentioned Bowie, who is my greatest artist of all time, the man that got me into music. So I'm very happy to see him resonating with you. And I think you can hear bits of that in the experimentation and the kind of, you know, like the eeriness. But you also mentioned people like Nancy Sinatra, which is kind of a different vibe. So yeah, what was your musical childhood like? What, you know, what music was around you when you were growing up? Where do you pull your music from?
Yeah, interesting enough, like I didn't grow up with a lot of music. I grew up with a lot of like classical, like my mom would be putting like Celine Dion on, you know, like these like amazing singers and like belters. And I think that's what got me into singing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got into Bowie, I think, in I would say like late high school, university era. Mm-hmm. And Visitation Dream is very, very much like, I think, my love letter to like to Bowie.
Okay.
I like with the whole like space like influences and like the dream poppiness of it all, but also like the experimentation. And what I love about Bowie is like also like the way he delivers the songs. Like what he's writing about, it's so surreal, but also these characters that he plays like in each of his like album eras.
Yep.
I really resonate with that, like, and I think I do a bit of that with the Gia project. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of world building, but yeah, Nancy Sinatra. I remember listening to the Nancy and Lee album, and I think that is like one of my like my foundations, like the pillars of me as an artist, I feel like is like, that's like one of the albums.
Mm-hmm. With Lee Hazlewood, wasn't it?
Yes, with Lee Hazlewood. Yeah.
It's a fantastic album.
It's gorgeous. And it's just so romantic, but it's like melancholic.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm just a sucker for that.
I think that probably sums up a lot of what we've heard from you so far, is that kind of melancholic.
I would say 100%.
It doesn't always feel like Let My Baby Go says it on the tin, like it's a sad kind of song, but it doesn't feel, and it feels kind of mournful, but not like depressing sad. It's kind of life moves on, right?
Yes, exactly. And yeah, that's like what I say in the song basically. With like, and I like to, I think, take elements of this like romantic melancholy with like the surrealism of Bowie, and then like with undertones of like mystery and like and like, yeah, like just making it really ominous. I find something like really alluring in that.
How much of your the kind of content of your songs is coming from your life, and how much of it is imagined, for want of a better term?
I think it always starts with something like real, and something happening in my life. Playground Heart, for example, was like very much, I think it's the most like raw and unfiltered process in songwriting that I've found myself in, because I wrote that song in like 30 minutes. So I was supposed to go in for like a vocal recording session like the next day, and it was like the evening before that day, and I had nothing written, and I was like I had to go in the next day, I had nothing written, and then I was just like, oh, what should I write about, and I just drew it from somewhere like really, really close to what I was feeling at the time, what I was experiencing, and it just flowed out, and yeah, it all
does that carry through to the rest of the project, do you think? Is that a similar way a lot of it's been created? Or
I think it starts that way, and then I sort of expand on it to make it more poetic, you know, make it more like songwritery, I guess.
Cool. I also want to talk a little bit about playing live. Obviously, you've just done a fantastic live set for us, Through the Glass. When you play live, how does that feel? Like, what for you are the differences between live performance and recording performance? And I guess also in terms of like So today you had just a guitar with us today. Mm-hmm. Do you ever perform with like a larger band? Is it ever just you? What's your kind of live vibe?
Yeah, I usually have like a 5-piece, okay. Like larger band. Depends on the show. But yeah, I usually have like a full band, and then I'll do acoustic sets with just the guitar. I find with recording like studio things, it's definitely a lot more nerve-wracking, because it's like people are going to be listening to that over and over and over again, so it's got to be like perfect, I think, for me.
You don't take any like sort of confidence in the fact that like it's being edited and tweaked for you? It's you've got to get it right, because for me, like, a live thing feels like whatever I do is there and I can't change it. Whereas, you know, recording, there's tweaking and there's, you know, oh, let's try this bit again.
Right. I feel like, I don't know. I think live for me, it's almost like I'm always going to do another show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and it's always going to sound different. And I think that's the beauty of live, is that like no set is the same, you know? And so that's why people got to come see you live. Because it's like, well, what if you miss out on like the way they sang this this way, or like the arrangement that they did differently, you know? And like even like playing Playground Heart acoustically for the first time here, like it gives a different sort of feeling. So I think live sets, to me, it's a bit less nerve-wracking, just because like, yeah, I feel like there's a beauty in like it being like present.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's funny you say, actually, because I was thinking when you played Poltergeist, I've not heard an acoustic version of it before. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is different. This is like both very cool versions, but it's like, oh, this is not the song I was expecting to hear, almost.
100%. Yeah, and that's what's like, I love seeing like acoustic versions of songs from like artists I love, like, mm-hmm. online, like all the time. I'll be going through them. Like, it's just it adds, I don't know, like, I feel like the song takes on a life of its own, and it's always like breathing differently every single time. And yeah, I don't know, it's like a new life to it.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think, you know, every performance has a different audience as well, and I imagine, you know, a lot of the energy comes from the audience, and so you're kind of reflecting back what the audience is giving you.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%.
Do you have any live performances coming up that we can get along to?
I don't have any live performances coming up.
So you're up for booking?
Yes.
Open for booking?
Yes, so hit me up, please.
Cool. When you're going to see live music, mm-hmm. let's learn a little bit more about Gia the person as opposed to Gia the music. Mm-hmm. What sort of music are you going to see? What live stuff are you out to see?
I just went to see La Luz at the Pearl.
Okay.
I think a couple weeks ago, Telenovela opened for them. I love like surf rock.
Mm-hmm.
I also love folk. I don't know, I listen to everything. But I love like music that like artists that are booked in these sort of places, like the Pearl, Biltmore Cabaret, mm-hmm. Fox, Hollywood. Yeah, those types of venues. I feel like the venues really add to the character of like the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you're traveling,
mm-hmm.
do you get much time to like when you were down in LA,
mm-hmm.
do you get much time to kind of explore, or is it like, right, I'm kind of here to do my job and get some music made?
Well, I go there like in spurts. So
okay.
Like I think the second time I was there, I spent quite a bit of time there. I was there for 3 months.
Okay.
So I had like a good amount of time to like really explore and like kind of like find the little pockets of like artists and producers and like music in LA. And there are so many. Oh my goodness, there are so many. But yeah, like when I'm there just to record for like a week or two, it's definitely like really, really busy.
So is LA somewhere you have a connection with, like personally, or is it just somewhere you've kind of found to be somewhere you like being?
It's more, I feel like it's like it was an exploration, I think, the first time. Yeah. Like when I was down there for 3 months, I was like, oh, let's see what's going on over here. And, you know.
That's fair enough. Yeah, yeah. I've just come to Vancouver to do the same thing. So I feel
that. There
you go.
There
definitely.
You go.
And around, have you done much going around Canada as well? Have you been out to other cities? And
yeah, I was out in Toronto for a month. I love the city, like for like the live venues, the music there. Like there's so much, so much talent in Toronto. Yeah, I love Toronto. Shout out,
cool.
Toronto.
Let's take it back to Vancouver briefly. Mm-hmm. Are there any artists around, like local artists that you know, or like local venues and things you want to shout out? Anything in Vancouver that you think wants a mention?
Oh my goodness, Tiger Lily. They just dropped their new album. I think they also just did a show here.
Okay.
Like in the Nest. But cool. They're like a Midwest emo band from Vancouver. Awesome band. Lian, the frontman, used to drum for me very well.
And now he's abandoned you.
Exactly. I know. Oh, come back, Lian. I need you. No. Yeah, he's great. He's great. The band's great.
Fantastic. Tiger Really.
Tiger Really.
All right. Check him out, everyone. Check out Gia as well. I like to end an interview with a little bit of fun. I'm going to ask you for your three favorites. I'd like your favorite color, your favorite season, and if someone were bringing you breakfast in bed, what would it be?
Ooh, okay. Favorite color, purple.
The correct answer.
Obviously. Yep. But like a lavender purple.
Oh, no, it's like a deep purple.
Oh, you like the... that's fair. Like a velvety one. Oh, yeah. That's fair.
Lavender's good, though.
Lavender's good. Yeah, lavender's good. What was the second one?
Your favorite season.
Season? I'd say it's a toss-up between summer and fall, which are like opposing, but like... I feel like that sums up my personality, summer and fall.
So you get a really good half of the year and then like a really boring half of the year.
Exactly, exactly. Breakfast.
Breakfast in bed. If someone's bringing you breakfast in bed, what's on the tray?
Oh my God. Eggs Benedict. Iced vanilla latte. No, I take that back. Dirty chai.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And like a chocolate croissant.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Noted. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Gia. It's been wonderful. Thank you for the music. It was incredible. I hope you've had a good time.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time. You guys are the best.
You have been listening to Noise Complaint here on CITR 101.9 FM, coming to you live from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people on UBC's Vancouver campus. Thank you so much for listening. Check out Gia. Check out Tiger Really. And we'll see you in a week.